This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Fleetwood Mac Attack. You're listening to the Trex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world on KGLRadio.com as the sun goes down all across these western United States. Good evening from wherever you're listening. Let's talk about Stevie Nicks. Why every time everybody speeds her up, she sounds like everybody speed them up. I have to find this story now. I'm all over the place. I've got like 50 pages open. Okay, so here's the deal with this. This is a lot of fun. If you speed up certain artists, they sound like Stevie Nicks. Now you're saying, Drex, I know you're crazy. Maybe crazy, but I ain't high and I ain't drunk. Let me see. They're already changing pages on me. This drives me insane. See, here's the problem. It's midnight on the East Coast, so all of my audio changes for all those overnight guys. All right, so let me see. I have it. I know I do. I'm going to move on here if I don't find it in a second. I don't have time to be wasting. Okay, here we go. Someone on Twitter discovered that if you speed up a Bruce Springsteen record and play it at 45, it sounds just like Stevie Nicks. That's Springsteen. Here's Stevie Nicks. By the way, you know she stole this from Prince. I mean, it's a little red Corvette in the back. Same thing. But she admitted it.
I wrote Stand Back, riding along in the car, to the first time I heard Little Red Corvette. I had these words in my head, and I just started singing these words. And I was with a friend of mine, and I said, you know, we need to pull over and get a tape recorder because I need to record this. And then I went in to record it, and I called him and asked him if he would come over to Sunset Sound in Los Angeles. And he was there in like 20 minutes, and he played all the organ parts, and he played, well, several things that I don't even really remember, but he played a lot on it, and he owns 50% of the song. So we became really good friends from that moment onwards because we had a, you know, I didn't have to call and tell him that I kind of ripped off his song, but I did because I'm honest. So it turned into, a really amazing relationship. And is my heart broken? Absolutely broken.
And a little few cups, a few or less cups of coffee. I don't know. One man walk away from me. Birthday took my hand. Take me home. Stand back, stand back. All right, now I have more. Apparently, Bruce isn't the only one that sounds like Stevie Nicks when you speed him up to 45 RPM. How about the Atlanta Rhythm Section? Remember Imaginary Lover? That was a good song. I think that was a one-hit wonder, wasn't it? I don't know, Atlanta Rhythm Section. That's like 70s stuff. Okay, listen. Imaginary Lover never turn you down. That really does. Don't you you think so? I mean, my God. I was like... Pelletier, you probably don't even remember Imaginary Lover. I'm sure you have one, but you don't remember it.
I played a lot of Stevie Nicks. My first radio gig.
Stevie Nicks
was
rocks.
On an adult contemporary station. I was the overnight jock.
Oh my God. What year was this? 78, 79, 77, 78.
Yeah, I was still inside mommy.
78? Look at me.
Yeah, I wasn't even thought of yet.
And you're still not.
Oh.
That was before your parents had evil thoughts. Oh my God. All right. Well, so now you know you speed up Stevie Nicks. Oh no, you speed up certain bands and they sound like Stevie Nicks. I wonder what Stevie Nicks thinks about that. Good. Speaking of your imaginary lover, are you swiping behind my back how couples are spying with anti-cheating apps?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We've talked about this a little bit vaguely because I didn't really understood how it worked. I didn't go into details. So, you know, this is like storytelling. Blah, 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 blah. Went to spotted Tinder on her boyfriend's phone. She got pissed. They had met on that dating app 7 months earlier, and he promised that he would not download it on his new phone. Full of excuses, he didn't. And sure enough, when he put it on his new phone, not only did he put it on there, it transferred automatically all from his old device, you know, all those likes and swipes and...
Oh, that's convenient.
...through her profile and read their old messages. But she didn't believe him. A few days later, this girl goes to work, right? She goes to the office and she works for a credit union in St. Louis and confessed to her colleagues that she thought her boyfriend might be cheating on her. So a coworker brought up, here it is, Swipe Buster. It's a new website that scans Tinder's public database and reveals whether someone has a profile and the last time they used it. For the mere low, low, low price of $4.99. All right. Wilson said she's not normally the jealous type, but she had a gut feeling, so she paid the $5 and ran a search. Now, technology has made it easier than ever to be unfaithful. Apps like Tinder, Bumble, and Grindr present this never-ending Rolodex of hookups, right? So on and so forth. But check this. It's also easier than ever to catch a cheating partner with now a vast selection of websites, apps, and spyware that can monitor your mobile footprint. Oh, you should be very concerned with your whore self. You can't behave yourself. Somebody's going to swipe bust your ass.
Or maybe you should just find somebody that you can trust. I don't know. That seems like the easier thing.
That's so conventional, Brian. The clandestine services such as Swipe Buster allow jealous lovers to track someone's activity without their knowledge. Yes, and they are most controversial. Now, they range from websites that scrape public data, perfectly legal. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there are spyware tools such as FlexiSpy and MSpy that covertly installed, enable remote surveillance of a person's phone. Not so legal. Oh, but so much fun. Right? On the more ethical side, there are apps such as Couple Tracker and M-Couple that allow partners to consensually access each other's text, calls, Facebook activities, and GPS location. Oh, please, who's buying that? That's to what you said with your silly conventional wisdom.
You know, my wife and I have iPhones, and we turned on the locator when I ran over in Oakland a few weeks ago. I ran that half marathon.
Right.
So I turned it on so she would know where I was.
Oh, yeah, you can do this.
And she could follow me during the race, like on the map or whatever, but on her phone. So now she knows where I am at all times, and if I pulled my phone out of my pocket, I could tell you, you know, whether she was home or at work or whatever.
Dude, you should be using Waze, like, because you travel. Do you use Waze, the app, the traffic app?
Oh, yeah, I've had that for a while.
Right, so when I leave the office, I turn on Waze and immediately tell her I'm on my way so she can see me coming, and then she does vice versa. So we can, yeah, we can kind of see where each other. So that way I can wrap up whatever naughty things I'm doing in the house before she gets there. Or not. Or she could wrap up naughty things she's doing before I get there.
Yeah, it works both ways.
Robert Palmer. 1979 also. He died early. He died at an early age. I don't know. Yeah, that's a damn shame. I always thought, I love Robert Palmer. He always had the, like, skinny suit on, the skinny tie. Very, very 80s. Very 80s. So, what do you think about this swipe buster? Because do you want to know where they are all the time? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm fooling around with Brian Pelletier. But I really do think that if, I can tell you this. Well, I guess I'm in trouble if I'm on Tinder or Grindr and you find me. But boy, I'd be pissed. I think there'd be a civil war. There'd be a Captain America versus Iron Man.
Who would you be?
I'd be Iron Man, so I can win. Captain America can't beat Iron Man. What the hell are you talking about? We'll get to that coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
KGO 810 traffic.
All right, back to the Sunol Gray at 6:08.
Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Just in time for Star Wars Day, see what the iconic characters used to do to pay the bills. Now available on VHS or Laserdisc, it's Porn Star Wars, with steamy action between Han Solo and Princess Leia.
Get on top of it!
I'm trying!
Luke Skywalker and Lando Calrissian.
Get something jammed in here real good.
And of course, Darth Vader and Chewbacca.
I have you now.
And in bonus footage, Obi-Wan and Luke arrive in present-day Washington in the middle of a session of Congress.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Porn Star Wars. Is that a lightsaber in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me?
Oh, please. Look, and I didn't even know. So today, May 4th, is Happy Star Wars Day. May the Force be with you, I guess, I suppose. But, you know, I love this. I'm going to play this other bit that we did, that we put together, because total geekdom.
Happy May the 4th, a day when we celebrate all things Star Wars. Hey, Force Awakens fans, you want to hear something crazy, do you? Well, a long time ago, in a decade far, far away, there existed another Star Wars movie, which also featured a restless young hero stranded on a desert planet who encountered an adorable droid carrying an important message that triggered an interstellar adventure that led to a battle with an angry supervillain in a black mask and the destruction of an evil orb in space. Does that sound familiar? Well, that's because J.J. Abrams ripped it off from George Lucas. So remember, kids, you're celebrating a lie. It was done before. It was done better. And anyone who claims otherwise needs their face slammed deep into a book called Know Your F***ing Damn Sci-Fi History, you f***ing ungrateful Bernie Sanders-loving monocle-wearing mustache-waxing hipsters. Ah, may the 4th be with you.
Get over your 30-year-old self.
Oh, come on. People can have fun with this new incarnation just as much as they had with the
I
one
know,
back you know, when you were my age.
Yeah. Well, what? Now, wait a second. Let me do the math on that. Yeah, so then how many Star Wars movies have there been so far? Let's have some fun. See if
Seven.
You can name them. Oh, well, pretty close. Okay, so the first one was Star Wars in 77.
Uh-huh.
Followed by?
The Empire Strikes Back.
Very good. 1980. Let me see. Next.
Return of the Jedi.
83. You're right on. Keep going.
The next one was really terrible. It was with, like, Jar Jar Binks.
Yes. Episode one.
The Phantom Menace.
Now, wait a second. Let me make sure of that. You're right. Yes.
The Phantom Menace.
That was Jar Jar Binks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was the biggest screw-up of all time.
Basically of all time.
In the entire universe, right?
Nobody wanted that character. Everybody wants to, like, erase him. I've seen edits online of the movie with no Jar Jar Binks in it. Like, they edited him out as much as possible.
You want to hear a great story? Michael Jackson wanted to do the voice.
Of Jar Jar?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's good
no.
that he didn't. That would have been a bad, bad career move. But so I hear. I mean, that seems to be the story that floats around.
Well, you know what? It would have made it a little bit more interesting. Maybe more people would have defended Jar Jar if it was Michael Jackson voicing him. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I'll get to this. I have more commentary on the way about Jar Jar Binks. So then the next one.
I don't know.
Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Don't even remember that.
And Revenge of the Sith was 6.
That's correct. And then
The Force Awakens.
No.
What came out after that?
The Clone Wars.
That was that a cartoon?
I don't know. It looks silly. 2008. I don't know. Well, there are kind of, you know, all of the posters are kind of are artsy. So CGI. The Clone Wars, I don't even remember that. Fantasy thriller.
Yeah, I never saw that. Was that like straight to Netflix or whatever?
I have no idea.
Star Wars Clone Wars television series.
Oh, okay. So that one doesn't count.
2008 to 2015.
Don't drive off the road, people. Calm down.
And then there's all, yeah, it was an animated series.
For Christ's sake, the Force is with you.
I remember that correctly.
I'm trying. And then the final one is
Force Awakens.
And then the next one will be.
Oh, I don't know. Should know, and I've just heard it recently, but
Star Wars Episode 8.
That's it?
And then Star Wars Episode 9. I guess there'll be names.
Well, no,
it's going to be Rogue something or another.
Yeah, there's another one that's coming out called Rogue One, I think, that's coming out this year.
Rogue One. Okay.
Which is a totally different storyline. It takes you to a different time.
Now let's talk about George Lucas and his Jabba the Hutt thing. So, you know, George wanted to build this huge museum here in the store. I'm going to stay alleged because I don't want to get myself in trouble because I don't know the whole story. I'm speaking out of my mouth. So George wanted to build a museum, and he had that big campus right up the street here. Wasn't it some, I don't know, but I've only been here a year.
I think he was going to build it in Marin. He owned land up in Marin County somewhere, and he was going to build it.
Sure, he owns half the world. All right. So then that didn't happen, so he wanted to move it to the waterfront in Chicago.
I heard
now,
about
that's,
that.
That's sacred ground. So he wanted to build it between the art museum and somewhere around Chicago Bears, the stadium.
Okay.
All right.
So like Millennium
Memorial
Park
Stadium. Yeah. Area. Yeah. In that area. But the thing looked like a blob. It was like a cone shape, like a blob.
Well, to be fair, look at the bean.
No, dude, the bean counts. The bean is magnificent. Yes, you must go. I used to live across from Millennium Park, and I remember when they were building that bean. That bean is fantastic. And by the way, it's not called the bean, and there's a great story about that. The artist who created the bean, it's the reflective thing. It looks like a kidney bean. But the artist who built that was so pissed off that everybody kept calling that thing the bean that he didn't want anything to do with it.
Well,
he
should have designed it a different shape.
No, I know. Now it's the bean, and I'm sure he's over himself because it's there forever and it's iconic. So now you have to remember that there's only so much waterfront or parkfront in Chicago City proper. So, you know, he wanted to build this huge campus, and it looked like a freaking Jabba the Hutt thing. I don't know. It was ugly. Just was. And so I think the people voted it down.
Okay.
And by the way, let me ask you this. The Museum of Natural Art and Soldier Field and all of those things, they'll still be here for 100 years. Is anybody going to care about Star Wars in 50 years?
I don't know. The way Disney's taking it over, I mean, they have a plan for these movies.
It's a commercial entity.
But they have a plan for these movies at least for the next 15 years right now.
I know, but it's a commercial entity. It doesn't belong on the citizens of Chicago's lakefront park.
Well, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't stick it in Golden Gate Park.
See? Why don't we stick it in Golden Gate Park? Why don't we stick it where the Warriors want to build a new arena? Oh, I just want to say this is so much fun for me to say. So last night, I was listening to the traffic situation before the game, before the Warriors game. Go Dubs Nation. We won again. Hallelujah. You got to love it. And I was preempted, so I got to stay home. But I was listening to KGO, and the A's were playing. And now all they were saying on KGO is, oh, my God, the traffic situation is going to be horrific if you're going to either game. And then it was. And then all I kept thinking is, and they want to build that damn thing down here right by the Giants, same thing. And we get this song and dance. We've been through this for months now. Oh, but the conflicts will only happen like 1 or 2% of the time. Oh, please.
Especially if the Warriors are good, they're going to be playing through June.
Right, all the time. And they're always going to be conflicting with the Giants.
And traffic's bad enough trying to get into the city. Like, when it
When it takes you, we're in the financial district, an hour and a half to get from here to, how long do you say it is to the bridge? Is it a mile, half mile? Like a mile.
Yeah.
When it takes you an hour and a half to go a mile.
Oh, it's like, it's it enrages me. Yeah, it's nothing I don't like more than
so
that.
So I had
it's
a little giggle last night when I heard that. I'm thinking, this is why you both need to stay in Oakland. Please do these people a favor. And by the way, the city of, with all due respect to the city of Oakland, they deserve to have that team over there. Yeah.
Yeah,
they supported
the
Warriors. They should give, Warriors should give love.
Through multiple horrible decades of play.
Yeah, that's right. I feel the same way about the Raiders. Oakland, I don't know why. I'll tell you, we get the short end of the stick. All right. You got, I'm going to talk about the magazine, Time Magazine, today put out the most influential gadgets ever. And then we're going to talk about air rage. Okay.
Oh.
This is fun. Don't go away. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show and the Late Night Late Show wrap up on KGO 810. And with a look at
7 to 10 on KGO 810.
Oh, thank you. Oh, look. This is
you were my son. You were my earth.
Thank you, all you peeps from Oakland. Calling to say I'm right on, spot on. With Oakland not getting the love and respect that they deserve between the Raiders and the Warriors wanting to skip town. Show some respect, damn it.
Well, and even the A's tried to move to San Jose a few years ago.
Oh my
God.
That
didn't work out for them.
Well, you'll regret it when it's Brooklyn. Okay. What are we playing? I don't know what this is.
This is Cry Me a River.
Oh,
Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake. This is the big ball baby of the biggest ball baby of all time song. Yeah, isn't it? Didn't we say that last week?
Yeah,
okay.
I wish I had falsetto like this guy. No, I don't, really.
Yeah, you don't. That matters. Does penis size really matter? New survey of men and women reveals the truth behind the ideal length. New survey of men and women has revealed whether penis size does matter and what the ideal length is, and the results might surprise you. Blah, 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 worldwide research. Let's take a look here. The Brits, the Poles, let me see.
The Poles.
Yes, as in Poland.
Oh, okay.
Poland. They're Poles. Oh, God, you guys, get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, you are right. Talking about penises.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the Polish people. Anyway, so the average length was 4.88 inches. The ideal length was, their ideal length in their mind was 5.5 inches.
All right.
And when they asked the people of Poland and Germany, their answers were like, were 6.1 inches.
Six?
6.1 inches. Yeah, it would be the ideal size. Other countries ranked highly in both categories were Austria, Italy, and German. Surprisingly, gender made a difference to the results of both average size and ideal length, as women expected less from both sections. On average, women thought the average penis length was about 5.4 inches, and their ideal size, fantasy-wise, was 6.2 inches. But for men, the average penis size was believed to be 5.5 inches, and the ideal length for them, in their minds, would be 6.5.
Nothing about girth in this, huh?
No, isn't that weird? I thought the same thing, too, because that, ladies.
It's part of the equation.
No. These are airwaves. They work two ways. I know what you're saying. Yes, but Drex, what about the girth?
It's not the size of the wand. It's the magic in it.
Is that Lee Graham? Smack him with your pole, Brian.
It's the motion in the ocean.
Yeah, right. No, they didn't. They did not report on. The other thing is, I would hope this is flaccid.
I don't know.
Doesn't say that either. How do you put this damn 10-page report together and not tell me girth, or I'm looking for the word erection through the something. Oh. Where is the word flaccid?
The scientist in me wants to know how they went about measuring. Well, like, where do you start and where
do
you finish?
10 pages of it, read it, and write back. All right, report tomorrow. That's your assignment. And then, where's this? This from Maxim magazine. There's great news for short guys who pack big junk. You've got the word out in a legal way. Researchers at the Australian National University had women look at different computer-generated images of naked men to figure out what features make them attractive. The most important quality in the body shape were broad shoulders, thin waist, and the best look. Now, that's just genetics. That's 100,000 years of evolution, all right? Or a million years. You don't know. You don't know. You think you do, but you have no idea. But right after that, it was a tie between height and junk size. That's right. No, really, the body shape, the broad shoulders, waist, thin waist, that is genetics.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just like you look at a woman, you're looking for stamina and, you know, and all that good-looking stuff. You're looking at booty and boobs and... They're bringing sexy back, yeah. But right after that was a tie between height and junk size. That's right. What you're packing down there is just as important as how tall you are. The researchers say women subconsciously think that having large genitalia is a sign of good genes and good health. See, women don't even know they're thinking about this because they are. Go forth and procreate all of that. So genetically in their mind, they're hardwired. They're harder on... They're hardwired...
Wait, who's hard?
Heart on wired. Okay. So anyway, okay. You get back to me on that. All right. We're on a roll. You were just talking about us giving away tickets to one of these rock concerts. Yeah, I heard that in the
Who?
Yeah, who?
Yeah,
who?
That band that sings the CSI theme song.
Oh, the Who. It's out. The official. It's official. The Classic Rock Festival you've been wishing for the last 35 years to see is going to happen. Paul McCartney, The Rolling Stones, The Who, Roger Waters and Pink Floyd, Bob Dylan and Neil Young will take the site of Coachella in Indio, California on October 7th through the 9th. Dylan and the Stones will kick things off on Friday the 7th. Neil and McCartney will play Saturday. The Who and Roger Waters will close the show out on Sunday. This is very important, people. Tickets go on sale Monday, and they're going to set you back. One day general admission is $200. All 3 days is $400. Want floor seats for all three nights? That's $1,600 out the door.
Oh.
Per person, plus fees, of course.
Of course.
And then you're not going to be able to get any of them anyway. So then you're going to have to buy it from the scalpers. But that is the concert of all time, right? I mean, that's the one to see.
Well, yeah, if you're of a certain generation.
I mean, before they all go, you know what I'm saying?
I can't imagine. Well, Keith Richards is going to outlive them all.
Yeah. Okay. Go see them. All right. Time Magazine says, let's see if anybody can, I'm going to go backwards here. What were the most influential gadgets ever? Time Magazine just picked the most influential gadgets of all time. And let me see. Number five, the IBM Model 5150 PC. It was the beginning of the personal home computer era. You're Googling it. Don't cheat.
I'm not.
I'm going to break your fingers with this pole. I'll bash you over the head with my pole.
Please don't.
Number four, the Sony Walkman. It was the first simple portable music player that was affordable. That was a big thing.
That's like an iPod for people that don't understand what that is.
Do you remember when they first came out? It was so obnoxious. Everybody had one and they were all walking zombies, which was really fun because everybody had one. No one was paying attention.
It was like the first very personal portable device, right? Now people are walking down the street on their iPhones and... even more distracted, but that was like the first thing that could get you distracted.
And corporate radio executives were jumping off the top of the buildings. What a shame that was. Number three was the Apple Macintosh computer. It showed that people wanted computers that were more user-friendly. These are of all time. Number two. Now, I really remember this and I really like this, but it was the Sony Trinitron. It was the first really good color TV and the most popular one. Did you have a Trinitron?
No.
It was a good TV. It really was. It was the flat screen one right before HD came out. So chances are if you, yeah, I mean, you know, it was $600-$700, but you had the Trinitron. That was the precursor to what thin screens, all of this stuff.
Yeah, the flat screen stuff. Mm-hmm.
Other gadgets that made the list were the Victrola record player in sixth place, the iPod in ninth, the VCR was 12th, Nintendo was 15th, the Polaroid camera in 27th, the Fitbit is 42nd, the Segway is 48th.
Segway.
Yeah, I don't see the Segway around anymore. Remember, that was supposed to completely change our entire world.
Oh, no, you go down to Golden Gate Park, and there are people every single day, Drex, taking tours on Segways.
Well,
it's incredible.
Didn't something bad happen to the owner?
Slash super nerdy.
Didn't something bad happen to the owner or the inventor?
I don't know.
Didn't somebody from the company drive their Segway? You better look that up. Okay.
I can Google now.
Now you can Google. I will not hit you with my poll. Okay, what was the number one most influential gadget ever? It's the iPhone. It was the first phone that was just a touchscreen, and it introduced the concept of the app. It was the first phone that truly is a fantastic computer. Yeah, it's like you're, you know, back in the day with Star Trek. What was that thing called?
I don't know. Like the beam me up thing?
We don't have that right yet now. Why can't I think of the word? You can't think of that. Yeah, you can't think of. You got to see what happened to the Segway person. That's got to be in there.
Yeah, it is. His name was Jimmy Held.
Transponder is what I was thinking.
His name was Jimmy Hell. I'm going to butcher his last name. It has a lot of vowels in it.
All right. Well, just Jimmy. What happened to Jimmy?
But anyway, he was apparently on a Segway and fell off cliffs into the ocean.
That's correct. Okay.
Yeah. So.
That was.
Poor guy. Poor guy. And the Segway was recovered.
From the bottom of the cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
As was he. So that's terrible. So, yeah, the inventor of the Segway died at the hands of his Segway.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And I would suspect that's what's going to happen to people who were buying all these, like, those little motorized wheelie things that are so popular.
Oh, well, they should.
What
he
are those
things?
He died
doing what he loved.
What did you just say?
He said he died doing what he loved.
Segwaying.
I don't know if he went off a cliff, but. It's mean. All right, time for you, Mr. Troublemaker Lee Graham in the KGO Traffic Center.
Excellent segue.
810 traffic.
I guess that does count as true irony, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. You got to go some way. I mean, what a way to go.
Hey, some good news.
I climbed a mountain and I turned.
All right, Stevie, but you know what? Bruce Springsteen sounds just like you if you speed him up to 45 RPM. That's the boss. That doesn't sound her. Then Atlanta Rhythm Section's. Okay. I just want her in my house to sing to me all the time. Her and Bonnie Raitt. Okay, and then Atlanta Rhythm Section's Imaginary Lover. If you sped that up, it sounds like Stevie Nicks too.
That's closer than the boss, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say. That's powerful.
When all the others turn you away.
Nicely done. Okay, so let's talk about air rage. You can have air rage just like you have road rage. That's right. Apparently, air rage is a thing, just like road rage.
Better look out. You're about to take a flight, sir.
I'm familiar with this. Like yelling at a flight attendant, fighting with another passenger, not listening to instructions, or being drunk or loud. So the University of Toronto did this study, and they have found out why. It's not because we all hate flying. According to their study, it's because you have to walk past all those smug idiots in first class to get your crappy economy seat, probably nowadays in the middle, because you refuse to pay not to sit in the middle. You know you have to pay now. Now you have to pay not to sit in the middle.
That's horrible. I would pay.
Not to sit in the middle.
Yeah, I would
they
pay
know,
not to
sit
in the middle.
They know that. They know that. You're not helping. Okay, so you you don't always have to. Sometimes, you know, you board in the middle right into coach. That's a big plane, though, that does that, that just dumps into the back. That way you never see Daddy Warbucks or the trust fund brats up to your left. But when you do have to walk past them, it makes people crazy. People are twice as more likely to have air rage if they walk through first class to get to their seats. The researcher said, quote, psychology tells us when people feel a sense of deprivation or inequality, they're more likely to act out. And boarding through first class just doesn't make us poor people, you know, crazy. It also makes first class people crazy. Those 12 times, that makes that they're 12 times more likely to have an air rage incident if all the economy people have to walk past them too. The theory behind that is, quote, when people from higher social class backgrounds are more aware of their higher status, they become even more antisocial to have entitled attitudes and to be less compassionate. So they're rich pricks.
Wow. Have you ever flown first class?
Of course.
I've flown it once and it was great.
Now, and let me tell you why I do. Because I book months in advance, and I change my mind all the time. And this is how you get away without having to pay their fees. And plus, if you travel first class and you book it months in advance, it's not that much more expensive like it used to be. Mm-hmm. And you can cancel it. And you get all your money back. Doesn't go into the United Airlines bank fund.
You get a special TSA line now and everything.
Yes, yes, yes. It's totally worth it.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah.
If you could scratch together the extra money.
And by the way, I book like 4 or 5 months out. But if I change my mind, I get all my money back. It's completely refundable. If I want to change the flight, I don't have to pay your $250 fee.
That's a headache.
And then your upgrade to whatever flight, because it's a different flight. It's all silly.
It's not an upgrade. It's like...
No, I'm just changing.
You're just changing your flight.
Right,
yeah.
I'm just changing my flight. Yeah. So now you know. But so air rage. I don't know. Hide yourself. I just concentrate on something else.
Have you ever been on a plane during an air rage incident?
No.
I haven't either. So no. I think I've lucked out so far.
No. People have been nice.
Especially on those long flights like coast to coast. Ugh. I would hate to be
stuck on
something like
that. Well, when you and I are about to have to do that, yeah.
Or you read those occasional news stories about, like, the plane that has to land somewhere else because the passenger was just totally out of control.
Oh, yeah, I don't want any of that. Then the other problem now is, you know, the song and dance from the government that we don't have enough TSA screeners and we didn't know we'd be inundated with all these people who want to fly. Oh, horse's ass. You did so. You knew damn well that this was going to be a record-setting year, and you did nothing about it until it's too late. Well, now we have to organize ourselves, and we have to train all these poor people, and you know, we'll get around to it as fast as we can. Too late. Too little, too late. Just sucks. Not you TSA agents. I'm just saying, the people who are in charge. They knew damn well that it was going to be a horrific summer and very busy. All right, on that note, have a wonderful night. I'll make more tomorrow on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Sean Batchelor's next.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.